Welcome to the Side Action Podcast, the sports gambling show that covers everything in the world of sports betting from A through Z. We'll cover the four major sports, as well as anything and everything in between worth some action, and we'll increase the size of your bankroll. And here we go.
Welcome to the Side Action, Episode 7. This is Jim Weglars, a.k.a. Wegs. You can follow me at Wegspool.
And this is Steve Roberts, a.k.a. Action. You can follow me on Twitter at 31SRoberts.
And follow us at Side Action Pod on Twitter. How was your weekend, Steve?
It was good. We won a football game again, crushed our opponents 45-13. Had a little bit of a down day in college football on Saturday, but I bounced back nicely on Sunday. How did you do?
I did quite well. As you know, we did dominate that team. I caught a couple passes. I was running really slowly out there, but we got it done. But I had a good weekend. I was 4-1 in my picks. In fact, if Case Keenum would have hit Demaryius Thomas, I'd have been 5-5.
Yeah, or if the Denver Broncos could have stopped Mahomes on that game-winning drive. They had several chances, and the left-handed hook pass at the end kept Mahomes alive. That was incredible, huh?
Yeah, he's an athlete for sure, an athlete. So, all right, well, let's go over what we're going to talk about today. We're going to go over some legislative updates. It's a minor update. We'll kind of briefly cover the Ryder Cup. You have some notes about some other bets some other folks have been making. Then we're going to talk about the recap of our head-to-head, and then we'll look at the takeaways from week 4 in the NFL. We'll hit the mailbag. We do have another question. We'll do college football recap and look ahead, and then we'll do the NFL look ahead for this week. We'll do some picks, of course, for Survivor and other pools. We'll do our head-to-head segment for football, college, and pro. And then we're going to talk about some other sports. We've got the Major League Baseball is starting our playoffs, actually, as we tape tonight. Mm-hmm. And so we'll talk about some futures bets on World Series odds and pennant odds for both AL and NL. And then you've got a note on the UFC. That's exciting. And then finally, the NHL starting. We got to do some futures on the NHL. We love our Blackhawks here in Chicago, but there's a lot of other teams. That's a full show.
We have quite the variety tonight in terms of sports gambling, but it'll be fun to talk about some new items and sports that we don't normally touch on here on the show.
That's awesome. Well, let's talk about this legislative update. The legislative update that you have here is that on the 27th, there was a congressional hearing for sports betting that basically in the nation's capital, they were talking to a subcommittee on crime, terrorism, homeland security, and investigations. Why is gambling lumped into there?
You know, I couldn't figure that out myself, but it sounds like that is the subcommittee that's going to be following legalized sports gambling. And I was interested that while the rest of the United States was watching the Kavanaugh hearing and across the Capitol, they were actually talking about sports gambling. So I kind of think it slid under the radar a little bit. Mm-hmm. There wasn't much really that came out of it. I read that the NCAA and the major sports representatives were there basically pushing for federal guidelines, whereas the private gaming interests were there on the opposite side that are trying to keep it within the state's rights. They think that everything is going fine now, and they don't see any reason for the federal government to step in.
Yeah, I got to agree with that. We've talked about this on other episodes. When the federal government gets involved, it's going to get messy. There's going to be a lot of Big Brother going on with this. They don't do it in horse racing. It's kind of foolishness, but we all know everybody's trying to get a cut. So that's probably what's going on here. And of course, the sports are going to line up with the federal government because they're going to try to get their cut on these integrity fees or whatever you want to call it. So we'll have to keep our eyes on that and see what happens going forward. All right, so you got to talk to me about this guy, and I actually may have heard about this guy on VSiN, the quote-unquote duffel bag better. So what are we talking about here?
There's been stories floating around the internet and on Twitter of this guy in Vegas who has been dubbed the duffel bag better. And apparently he's this kind of seedy character who just runs around a little bit unkempt, or at least that's how I picture him, with a duffel bag full of wads of cash. Wow. And ever since week one of the college football season, he's been plunking down large sums of money on random college football spreads. Hmm. And he hasn't been winning too often, so I'm not sure what kind of bankroll he's working with. And he lost again this weekend. He bet over six figures at several different books on Indiana Hoosiers to cover the minus 17 spread against Rutgers.
Right, they did not.
Yeah, they were up 24-7 at one point, barely covering the spread, but Rutgers made a comeback in the second half, and the duffel bag boy lost 100 grand.
Wow. That guy's got to get a sponsor. Whatever duffel bag he's using, he's got to get a sponsorship because he's got to recover some of this cash he's losing. But, wow, that's rough.
I always like to follow where he's at and who he's wagering on each week and laugh at his expense.
I'm sure there's other people trying to follow where he's at, too, to maybe pick up that bag from him. But,
in case he drops it somewhere on the street corner.
That's right. All right, well, let's also talk about the Ryder Cup. I got to be honest with you, I did not have the guts to bet it just because we were betting a lot of college football and trying to manage my bankroll, but yeah, Europe dominated, didn't they?
Yeah, plus 150 underdogs won and pretty much destroyed the United States. I didn't watch too much of it, but I did notice that USA took the first lead on Friday morning, which is another prop that we touched on last week's show.
Yeah, it looks like we can't win on European soil still, and you know, we'll have to wait for another, I guess it'd be 4 years, because we'll come back here for the next one.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's jump into my favorite segment, because it's the head-to-head picks. As you know, I'm doing quite well. I'm up 17-7 now.
Yeah, you had another dominating week over me, taking a 3-1 weekly victory, and I'm down 17-7. I have a lot of work to do.
Yeah, the first game was Ohio State. They were laying 4 points at Penn State. You know, the total was 69. You know, we both actually liked Ohio State in this one, so I can't say, you know, I'm so smart, but Penn State, as they did before, they made it a game, and they really had a chance to win the game, but they ended up losing the game 27-26.
Yeah, James Franklin really made some boneheaded errors there throughout the game, some punts in his own territory, and then the last play call at the end of regulation was really questionable in my mind. But Ohio State survived, and they moved on. They stay undefeated, and right now you got to say they're favorites to win the Big Ten and make the playoff.
Absolutely. Our second game is, my guy, Clipboard Jesus 2. He did his thing, Will Greer. And they were up big in this game. So West Virginia, they were laying 4 points at Texas Tech. And, like I said, Will Greer, he's lighting it up. He's probably the best quarterback in college football.
Yeah, I've got a bad beat story on this one. First of all, when we showed up to the bar after flag football, it was 28-7, so I had kind of written it off.
Right.
But I still held out hope for my under ticket, which the total was 77.5.
Mm-hmm.
And Texas Tech really turned up the defense in the second half. It's too bad that they didn't play any in the first half, or I would have had a better chance. But ultimately, it came down to the end, and the under was looking solid. Texas Tech's Blackman, the freshman quarterback, was knocked out, and the backup throws a pick six. Mm-hmm. There's still a minute and a half left or so. I'm still feeling good, still under. And what do? Well, they come down on a last-minute drive and score a touchdown at the death and push the game over the total. So it was a rough one all around for me.
That's too bad. It's a bad beat.
Mm-hmm.
And we moved to the NFL on Thursday, the Thursday night special. This was Minnesota. They were going to the Rams, potential NFC championship preview. Our analysis was actually right on. This game was basically a shootout. Final score was 38-31. Both quarterbacks threw incredible yardage totals. Jared Goff looked incredible.
Mm-hmm.
In our bet, I lost the bet because I had Minnesota plus 6.5. They lost by 7. But you pushed on your bet?
Yeah, the Vikings ended up covering the 7 points barely, and I pushed there in the book. But here for the contest, I did win with the Rams, minus 6.5. So that was my lone win in our little pick'em this week. But it goes to show you how important it is around those key numbers, whether you're betting the underdog or the favorite. If you're betting 7, 7.5, it can make a big difference, especially in NFL games.
Absolutely, key numbers. Our last game was Miami at New England. Miami, in our bet, it was New England minus 7 at home. I did take New England. We did talk about how we like Miami with that spread. However, New England came to play, and they just kind of dominated the game. I actually bet New England in the game as well, but I got the key number 6.5, so I felt a little better about it, like we just talked about. But they won 38-7. It wasn't even close.
New England's defense finally showed up in a football game this year, and they really held Miami in check. There was basically no running game for the Dolphins on Sunday, and Tom Brady looked like his old self.
He did. He looked a little more spry. We talked about he probably ate those vegetables.
Sony Michel showed out pretty well, too. I'm excited for what he has going forward.
Yeah, I think the offense is going to turn the corner here. Sony Michel looked great. Gronk got a little bit hurt, but they get Edelman back this week, so they should be a lot better. And Josh Gordon made an appearance. He was on the field.
Yeah.
All right. Let's roll into the NFL and the takeaways. We kind of mentioned Jared Goff already. If you didn't see the game, Goff looks like a different quarterback. I remember 2 years ago as a rookie, he did look like a deer in headlights. Granted, he had Jeff Fisher, Mr. 8-8, you know, as his coach, but he's a different man under McVay. He's throwing the ball deep. He's hitting people, you know, coming out of breaks. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, that performance was really incredible. He was making pinpoint passes. There were a number of times where I looked up and he was putting the ball in like a 6-inch window for some of those touchdowns.
Yeah, Cooper Kupp one in the end zone was impressive.
Yeah, Robert Woods down the seam in the middle. Mm-hmm. I think he ended up with a perfect quarterback rating on Thursday night.
Yeah, that's great. Another performance that we've noted is our own Mitchell Trubisky. He, I think they said going to the game, he had a career maybe 7 touchdowns for his career going in. He threw 6 touchdown passes. He had 5 in the first half. Boy, the Bucs defense is probably the worst I've seen in some time.
Yeah, I want to clear Jets a little bit on the Bears offensive game. I think the more interesting point and from that one was the Tampa Bay defense. They look terrible. And as we had talked about a couple of weeks ago, it looks like Fitzmagic is gone and Winston is your new starter down in Tampa Bay.
I'm a little surprised at that only because Fitzmagic, obviously I don't care. He had 3 great games and then he has a bad game, not because of him. I mean, his team stunk. And they put in Winston. I think he threw a pick on his first drive, so he's not like he's better. But I guess they got to see what Winston is, and maybe we'll see what happens down the road.
Yeah, and how about Patrick Mahomes last night showing up in prime time, down 10 points in the fourth quarter? What an unreal comeback by the Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely showing he's a gamer. We'll talk about that game later. They're going to play the Jags this week. That's going to be a great game. So I'm excited to see him against a legit defense.
And that was really a tough atmosphere for him to play in. A little shot there at the Pittsburgh Steelers because that wasn't really a true test. But the Broncos really showed up and kind of held the Chiefs offense in check for a little while. And him coming back in that fourth quarter, the game-winning drive at the end of fourth quarter was really unreal.
Yeah, absolutely. The only other thing I wanted to say about the NFL takeaway was that in week 4, there were more overs than unders. We talked about that before the pod. I mean, these games were incredible. I mean, you had Oakland and Cleveland going overtime, 45-42. You had
Bengals and the Falcons down there in Atlanta. That game flew over the top. I think it was over in the first half, actually.
And then you had even your team, the Colts against the Texans. That was a shootout. It was just incredible. You know, the ball was just flying all over the place, and it kind of hurt me in my pick'em pool because all of them kind of flipped the wrong way, but it was exciting football.
What was your take on Frank Reich going for it for the Colts in overtime instead of just taking the tie?
It's inexplicable. I don't really understand what he was thinking. It's 4th and 10. You're on your own side of the field. I can understand if he was on the other side of the field even. There wasn't a lot of time, but okay. I mean, I guess you go for the win, but I don't know. It was kind of basically stealing the tie from the jaws of – or stealing the feet from the jaws of tire.
Well, I can assure you there was plenty of Indianapolis bettors who were upset at that decision, especially those who got Indianapolis as an underdog right before kickoff. Right. But the more I read into it, I love the decision. He came out and said that he's trying to instill a winning culture in Indianapolis, and he wasn't going to be settling for ties. He even said 10 out of 10 times he's going to go for it, and that's the same situation.
Well, that's kind of the Peterson model with the Eagles. He went for fourth down on it a lot, and it was successful. And in his defense, what I will say is Andrew Luck actually looked great this week. We talked about his arm maybe not back. He threw over 400 yards. He was very accurate. So maybe he's getting better, and he trusted his quarterback, and he went down with the ship.
Yeah, they flew over his pitch count. I think he had like 60-some pass attempts on Sunday.
Yeah, it was impressive. All right, well, let's look at the mailbag. We have a key question here. After losing with the Rams 7.5 on Thursday night, I'm wondering if I should have bought the extra half point to 7. Can we discuss the pros and cons?
Yeah, sure. Books will give you the option to buy an extra half point or full point in some cases, for an extra amount of juice. And usually at most books, if you buy off of the key number or onto the key number, you have to pay a little extra even. Mm-hmm. So the standard juice is minus 110. But in this case, in all likelihood, at most books, if you were trying to buy the Rams down to 7, then you would probably have to pay minus 125 or even minus 130 to make that wager. Mm-hmm. And historically, that is not profitable, even though you may think it could have saved you this wager on Thursday night if you could have bought it down and the Rams would have pushed. Over time, you may lose that bet a number of more times than you would win it. Mm-hmm. And in order to overcome the extra juice, you would actually have to hit closer to 65% of games in those cases to cover that extra 130 or that extra 20 cents of juice. So in most cases, it's better just to take the number as it is, mm-hmm. and keep it at minus 110 as opposed to paying the extra 20 cents.
Yeah, or you could do what you've done often. You can tease the game in some mm-hmm. way. So you can buy points and you just have to pick another bet, another game, a total. And that way you kind of get the same result, but you're not actually losing, like you said, on the VIG. We've talked about the VIG off air a little bit. I'm trying to understand it myself as I'm getting new into betting. I'm looking at options. Oh, it's minus 105 instead mm-hmm. of minus 110. I'm trying to take advantage of those things. So like you said, it's never good to go the other way unless you absolutely have to.
Yeah, to add to that too, you never want to make a habit of betting lines where you have higher VIG because you have to win a lot more often to make that up. And on the same lines too, if you see some games that you like where you can get much lower VIG or mm-hmm. even money sometimes, or even sometimes plus money,
right.
you'll find lines that are shaded to plus 105 or plus 110.
Right.
And those cases, you don't even have to win 50% of the time in order to come out ahead.
Exactly. I've definitely been trying to do that as much as possible. That's why I've taken a couple chances on money line bets that I really like. I haven't hit them all, but when you do, you're hitting plus 150 or whatever it is, and that kind of helps the ones you lose on the other side.
Yeah. Along those same lines too, if you can get money down on both sides of a game, mm-hmm. whether it's through live wagering or second half betting as well, where you can get both teams at plus money, you essentially lock in profit and you're guaranteed to win something on that game.
That's awesome. We should talk a little more about that in another episode.
Yeah.
All righty. Let's go into the college football recap and look ahead. So what do we got? We've got Ohio State, Penn State. We talked a little bit about that. Great game. These guys have played great games, what, 3 years in a row now?
Yeah, this is the third one running.
Yeah, it's exciting to see that. I kind of like, you know, the rivalry between Michigan and Ohio State is traditional, but I think this rivalry is kind of eclipsing it in terms of the actual on-field games. So it's fun to see that not only is it great football, but it keeps us on the edge of our seat for the betting purposes.
It certainly was. It was the highest total in Penn State football history. I think at one point last week it reached 71.5. The closing total ended up at 69.5. But as I was watching that thing rise, I just couldn't believe how high it went. Both offenses are very good in the top 10 of efficiency. But a Big Ten slugfest for a 70-point total was a little bit outrageous. And sure enough, it came in under.
Yeah, it did. It did. And then we also have a Notre Dame, man. I'm telling you, this Notre Dame, I'm booking. That's what I'm saying. I'm booking. I'm Ian booking. This kid is making this team a legit contender for the national championship. I mean, the first few weeks they couldn't score. They were playing great D. But now they lit up Stanford. Stanford had no chance. It was just one of these situations, you know, 38-17. But I don't think it was even that close.
Yeah, I checked the box score, and Notre Dame outgained Stanford Cardinal 550 yards to 229, and they had a 20% greater margin of successful plays. It's obvious that this is a different offense with Book leading the charge. He had four touchdown passes on Saturday night, and the one thing that I took away from the game, and I'm going to be looking forward, is the totals. I think that bookmakers are going to struggle to adjust to this team a little bit.
Agreed.
They're still having totals in the lower, you know, upper 40s to lower 50s. And just today, actually, I was following this Notre Dame-Virginia Tech total for week 6, and every hour, I think I got a notification that it went up higher.
Oh boy.
As of this recording, it's at 56, but I still don't think it's high enough.
Yeah, I agree. They're scoring, and we'll be putting that pick'em to the test really on the spread bet when they go to Virginia Tech this week. That's going to be a great game. All right, we have Clemson. You know, it was an interesting game. So Clemson, they're hosting Syracuse. little revenge game. Syracuse beat him last year in the Carrier Dome. You got Trevor Lawrence, who's the quarterback, but guess what? He gets knocked out early.
Yeah, we sat down at the bar at Rinaldi's, and I looked up, and Trevor Lawrence was diving down the sideline, and he took a shot to the head. It was clear to me that he had a concussion, but I only found out later that it was a neck injury, they're claiming, and he seems like he's going to be cleared and ready to go here in week six.
Well, it was interesting, after the pod last week, and I was texting you, so you may not have followed this story, but Kelly Bryant, the former starter, he immediately transferred. He wanted to transfer out of Clemson because he can save his year of eligibility as soon as they elevated Lawrence. So it left them basically in a situation where you have a third string guy coming in effectively when Lawrence left the game. So that affected this game. I mean, they did win the game, but they were nowhere near the total that we had looked at and discussed last week.
Yeah, Chase Brice came in and led them on a game-winning drive very admirably, and they ended up pulling that one out and saving their national title hopes. Mm-hmm. I definitely lost a few wagers on Clemson last week.
Yeah, I bet you did. All right, let's take a look at the S&P Plus now. You know, LSU, as you got, sit at 17. They are fifth in the AP poll. You know, I have loved LSU quite a bit this year, but, you know, there's something about that defense, yes, but that offense is pretty bad.
Yeah, Joe Burrow looked pretty good last week, but you're right, overall their metrics are still pretty low, and they're going to have a good one this week as they travel to Florida.
Yeah, that's going to be a great game. Virginia Tech, we just mentioned them. They came back after the big Old Dominion loss, so they jumped back up by beating
Duke.
Duke, that's right. Mm-hmm. Duke was ranked. So they beat them pretty bad. I think it was 34-17 or something like that. It was pretty bad. So they jumped way up. They went from 18 spots from 53 to 35. You got Fresno. You know, we've talked about them in the past. They're up 13 spots. They're in the top 25 now. Mm-hmm. Your Memphis Tigers, man, they didn't come through on the Friday night special.
No, two touchdown favorites, and they got upset by the Tulane Green Wave on Friday night. Ugly.
Yeah, they dropped 18 spots in the S&P Plus. As we mentioned, Duke loses. They dropped 15 spots. They deserve it, down to 42. I was also noting that, you know, we got Washington, I have to plug one of my top four picks. Mm-hmm. They jumped to number five in S&P Plus, you know, from seven. They had a commanding win this week. And then I also want to note Central Florida. You know, they're up there. They're number 10, up from 16. This is a team that's kind of off the radar. They're not in the major conference. You know, they're the ones that are plugging for the eight-team playoff. They probably won't make the four, but they're a good football team.
Yeah, they had their one and only Power 5 test this week against Pittsburgh. Well, if you call it a test, and they passed pretty well. They destroyed Pittsburgh.
That's right. All right, what spots do you like this week, action in college?
Well, it's kind of a tough slate this week. There's not a whole lot that really jumped out at me, so I'm not going to force too many plays, but there are a couple of things that I noted. BYU coming off that tough loss in Washington this week, they're playing at home to Utah State. And Utah State is getting 3 points. If you recall, they gave Michigan State a run for their money in week one. And this is a classic in-state situation where the little guys at Utah State probably feel slighted by their big brothers, BYU or Utah. And I was checking the S&P Plus, and this game, according to the ratings, should be Utah State 10 points better on a neutral field. Mm-hmm. So take away the three for home, and they should really be 7-point favorites in this game. They're getting three. I'm going to be betting Utah State.
Yeah, according to the S&P Plus, they are, you know, they're plus 38 on the overall. That's a huge margin. Yeah, that would definitely be a betting spot that I look at when I look in the S&P Plus. So I think you're right on that action. Now we got LSU at Florida. Now Florida is going to be at home. They're also getting 3 points. So LSU, as we've talked about, they're kind of one of my darling teams this year. But I agree with you here. I think that Florida at home getting points, I don't think you can shy away from that bet.
Yeah, I think I've lost on LSU several times this year, but I'm going to be going back to the well with the Florida Gators. They are coming off that emotional win against Mississippi State and Dan Mullen's old football team, but I think they're going to regroup, and they're playing at home. This is going to be a very defensive game. I see it very low scoring. I would probably look to the total in this one as well. But if you're getting 3 points with the home dog here, the Florida Gators, I like this edge for them.
I do too. You're in the swamp. You know, the crowd's going to be going crazy. And again, to refer the S&P, I mean, you're talking about Florida's at 19, LSU's at 17. This is, on paper, is a pick 'em, and they're at home. they're really not getting any love there. So I like that. I like that spot. All right, the last game you've got highlighted is Liberty minus four. They're laying 4 points at New Mexico State. Why are you eyeing this spot?
This one really just comes down to betting against New Mexico State. I've got them as one of the worst teams in the country, as does the S&P Plus. And this was just another margin call. Looking at the S&P Plus, this one should really be an 8-point margin in terms of Liberty being the favorites. And the line came out at minus four, and it just looked like an automatic play to me. Liberty's not a bad team. They've had some good wins this year. Old Dominion jumps out at me. And although they're on the road at New Mexico State, I think they can cover this number.
Nice, nice. I got two quick ones just that I noticed. I've been doing decent in college. I like the Buffaloes, Colorado. They're actually not my alma mater. They're my enemy. But CU's at home. They are 2.5-point favorites against Arizona State. I think that's not enough. I think they're going to cover that easily. And then the other one I was highlighting is Mississippi State against Auburn. They're actually at home. They're getting 3.5 at home. I like that spot for them. They've kind of taken it in the teeth a couple times here the last couple weeks. I think they're going to bounce back. Auburn's not as good as people think they are. The S&P does say they're at 11, but I think that that offense efficiency is going to hurt, and they're going to either lose that game, definitely not going to cover that number.
Yeah, that one's going to be an interesting one. The loser of that can pretty much kiss their New Year's Six hopes goodbye.
That's right.
And the winner stays alive for any chance at a New Year's Six bowl.
That's right. That's right. All righty. Well, let's take a look at the NFL now, the look ahead for Week 5. You've done some analysis again. I appreciate that. Been a little bit busy myself. So you've got the top five for net yards per play. Shocker, it's the Rams at 1.6. They're incredible. The Jags at 1.3. That makes sense. Washington still up. They were on bye. They're at 1.0. Baltimore at 0.9. We'll talk about them in a minute. And then Atlanta at 0.6, which actually kind of surprises me because they really struggled. They're putting a lot of points on the board, but they can't get a win.
Yeah, I think that shows you how good their offense has been, because it's clear that their defense is pretty awful.
Yeah, yeah. But Baltimore, you know, obviously on Sunday night, they dominated the Steelers. They looked great. Flacco looks like a new man. Somebody was talking about on the radio I was hearing how maybe drafting Lamar Jackson just was motivation for him to play better, take a couple more chances. And, you know, Smokey John Brown, he's hitting deep and making things happen for him.
Yeah, the defense is very legit, too. And I think they're going to get better this week. Jimmy Smith is supposed to return.
That's right.
They're playing at Cleveland this weekend. They're top ranked in terms of defensive efficiency, and it's scary that they could even be better.
Yeah, I know. That's exciting. And then the bottom five, you got to reflect the bottom five. We still have Buffalo minus 1.6, the opposite of the spectrum. Arizona minus 1.3. Man, the Giants still minus 0.8. And then Tennessee and Oakland, and that was after the Oakland explosion of points. Mm-hmm. They're at minus 0.7, and actually Tennessee had a great second half too. It's a rough one. All right, so we had notable injuries. You know, Leonard Fournette can't stay on the field. That's rough. He's hamstring again.
Yeah, those hamstrings just can't stay in shape, and it looks like he may be out for several weeks here. I don't expect that they'll bring him back too soon this time.
It's smart to leave him out. They're going to win probably a lot of games without him. They need him for the playoffs, especially in December. Just let him heal. Gronk did hurt his ankle. We'll see how serious that is. Hopefully it's not too serious. He probably won't play on Thursday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, short week. It could be tough for him to come back on Thursday night.
And then you got T.Y. Hilton as well in that game. He's got a hamstring too, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
What are these hamstrings? I got a hamstring myself. I'm probable for the Shockers game on Saturday. So anyway, T.Y., he came out and went back in, But Tyler Eifert, that was rough, man. This guy, I feel bad for him. Very talented player, very athletic player. But yeah, he can't stay on the field, and he broke his ankle pretty badly.
Yeah, that was pretty gruesome to watch on TV. I was kind of upset the Red Zone Andrew Siciliano didn't warn us viewers before they showed that. I almost yacked on my couch.
Oh, God.
But we'll move on.
Yeah, let's not do that on the playback. And the last one you have listed here is Earl Thomas. He breaks his leg, but he's flipping the bird to his own team.
Yeah.
This guy. Who is this guy?
I couldn't believe it when I saw that pop up on the screen. And did you hear Pete Carroll come out and say, well, it's a big stadium. I'm not really sure who that was angled at. I think we know.
He was flipping off the official on the opposite side. No, we all know that Earl Thomas is trying to get traded. He wants to get traded to the Cowboys or whatever, wherever. Him getting injured obviously sucks for him because he was trying to get a contract negotiation. But come on, man. Be professional.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have any other offensive or defensive performances from this past weekend that you can think of?
Matt Ryan was incredible. We talked about Jared Goff already. The defensive performances, nothing really stood out to me.
The Bears, dude. The Bears, man. We talked about them last week. They took apart Fitzmagic, and I tell you, they held that offense in check. And, I mean, Mac is for real. That defense is, I think, they're number one, and if they're not, they're right there. That team, I think they play the Rams later in the season. We'll be able to see how they really can play. But, hey, man, come on. Give props to the Bears.
I suppose you're right. Tampa Bay has a pretty high-flying offense, and they definitely held him in check on Sunday. We'll give you that one.
Yeah, so some of the other things I noted, Mariota actually looked pretty good for once. He was, in quote-unquote, injured last week, came in the second half, led him to a win, even though it was crummy. This week, he actually lit it up. He led his team in, obviously, passing and also rushing to get them past the Eagles in overtime. There were three overtime games. It was kind of impressive, so...
Yeah, it looked like there could have been a few ties on Sunday, too. And miraculously, there was wins pulled out by the Titans, the Texans, as well.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about this some other time. That shortening of the overtime looks like it's coming back to haunt them. All these ties are ridiculous. An extra 5 minutes, make them play. So,
yeah, and really, when it comes down to it, over the long haul, that's a really good point. If you're looking to bet these close games, you may shade to the underdog a little bit because in those cases where they end up tying, those extra points are going to give you a winner.
They do, absolutely. And they do not have the, what is it called? The soccer bet. We have the three-way bet.
The push or the draw.
They're going to start to do that at some books, I bet.
That would be an interesting prop where you bet the draw in an NFL game. What do you think the odds are for that?
Oh, way too long. Maybe the guy with the duffel bag will win that one. All right, so this week we got some situational spots noted. Carolina, they're playing...
New York Giants at home.
Okay. Yeah, I agree that you've got them here at, I got seven, you got it at seven. Mm-hmm. So I agree that Carolina is a tough team. They're coming off a bye. The Giants are struggling. It's a tough game for the Giants to see if they get to that number.
Yeah, I was on the Giants last week at home against the Saints, and they did not perform too well. The defense held up pretty well in the red zone, limiting the Saints to field goal opportunities, but that offense is really struggling. And Carolina looked pretty good in their last game at home to Cincinnati. The running game is really starting to pick up, and Newton and McCaffrey are balling out right now. I like Carolina to cover this number.
Yeah, definitely. You've also got Washington +6.5 at New Orleans on Monday night. You know, obviously a big stage and everything. New Orleans, it's hard to figure that team out. They will get Mark Ingram back this week, which should help them. Kamara's been unbelievable for them, but I can't really figure out if this team can play defense or not.
Yeah, New Orleans' defense has been suspect, and Alex Smith is really a steady quarterback. Their offense has been looking good the past few weeks, save that one game against Indianapolis.
Right.
And I just think that this number is a bit too high. I would have put it more at 4, 4.5. And, you know, if you could scoop up a 7, perhaps, that would be great. I doubt we'll see those pop in the market anymore. But 6.5 is plenty for me, and I'll be looking for the Redskins on Monday night.
Okay, I like that. You've also got Arizona. They're getting 4.5 at San Francisco. Now, I did kind of dog C.J. Beathard. I'm going to apologize to you, C.J. You played pretty good on Sunday. You still came to fruition with a couple of picks, but, you know, you kept the team in it. They were close. They actually had a chance to win against the Chargers. It wasn't a blowout like I expected. So at home, I don't know, maybe he hit his best shot there, and then Arizona. Their actually defense is pretty good. It's a little surprising how good they are. They don't score a lot of points, but their defense can play. So you think that's too many points for CJ?
Yeah, Arizona played well on Sunday. Granted, it was at home, and their defense tends to play a lot better at home. Mm-hmm. But I think that the other side of this handicap, too, is really an indictment on the Chargers because we all expected them to be a much better team than they have been this year. And Beathard came out, and they were up 14-0 in the first quarter. And really, the Chargers lucked out of that game with a victory. And I think that it just shows that San Francisco is down a little bit, obviously, with the loss of Jimmy G. Mm-hmm. And I think that Josh Rosen played pretty well on Sunday. And I think that they can cover this number 4.5.
All right. And then you like, you're liking the Indianapolis plus the 10.5 at New England, huh?
Yeah, despite being a Colts fan.
Yeah, I think so.
This one just comes down to the number. In a short week, laying double digits at home to any NFL team is a lot to ask. And we've talked about it before. This New England team metrically is still down, despite their great performance on Sunday against Miami. I know that they're getting Edelman back, mm-hmm. and I know that Gronk may play. He's still questionable. T.Y. Hilton is obviously questionable, which could affect the handicap a little bit. But 10.5 on an NFL game in prime time is too much for me.
That is a big number. I think New England's going to roll, but at 10.5 is tough to swallow. I don't have the cojones for that. Maybe duffel bag will, but but we'll see. I do think New England's going to turn the corner. You're going to see a different team. While they played on Sunday, they played well. I think they're going to play pretty well on Thursday. All right, last spot is L.A. Rams at Seattle. The over is 50. We talked about this before the pod. The Rams are a machine. They are scoring 30 points plus a game. I think they're up to maybe 34 a game now. That's almost the total. So, mm-hmm. and Seattle doesn't have... You know, it doesn't have Thomas back there anymore, so they're going to get the total. You got to figure Russell Wilson could put some points up. So, yeah, I think the over is the play in that game.
Yeah, I think you're right. The Rams could probably put up 35 alone. And the other side of this handicap, too, is that Rams secondary. The injuries we talked about, Aqib Talib is out mm-hmm. still. Mm-hmm. Marcus Peters did play on Thursday night, but it was clear that he wasn't his normal self.
Right, they lit him up.
And I think Russell Wilson can put up some points, too. And I was shocked to see this total open so low, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's probably going to move, so it's probably one to get on early.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that's the suggestion.
Already has moved a little bit.
Yeah. All right, with the Survivor segment, I think we did a little bit better last week, thankfully. Mm-hmm. This week, I agree with you. The New England is probably the pick at the Survivor there. And the Panthers, those are the two picks that we've got listed. I completely agree with you. We did that independently. I've got it written down right here. So, you know, no tricks here, guys. So, yeah, I agree with those picks. Hopefully, you're still alive. A few that are still out there. I'm not. Are you in any Survivor?
I am not alive anymore. Completely dead.
We're dead. We wanted to talk a little bit about confidence pools and just line movement. And if you're picking against the spread in pools, you know, you and I are in a pool with a guy, Brian Mahari's great. And then I'm in another pool with my buddies. So usually, like in my pool with my buddies, they set those lines on Tuesday and they just sit there. So they can change quite a bit throughout. And then Brian locks them in on Thursdays for us. How do you attack that?
One thing that I look at in some of these confidence pools is how the lines might change between when they're locked in on Wednesday and Sunday morning when the games kick off, because I'm obviously following my app all week long to see mm-hmm. what's happening, where the money is going, and where the lines are moving. And you can generally see when that line moves a certain direction, that'll give you a pretty good indication that there's some good reason for it, whether it's an injury or... Right. Even just sharp money or pro bettors are moving a line. And I like to call them stale lines mm-hmm. for some of these pools. You can see, you can get an edge that way. You might get an extra 3 points on one side.
Right, right.
For example, this past week, Cincinnati in our pool was a 5.5 point underdog. Mm. And by kickoff, they were down to 3.5 in some books. Right. So that showed me that Cincinnati was the play and it was a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. And they ended up winning outright.
They did. They won that game. That was another great game. Okay, well, that's a good tip. I'm going to try to do that and be better in the pools because I haven't done so well so far.
We'll see if you can catch my lead.
I know. You're smoking me in that pool, but at least I got you in the head-to-head. So.
That's right.
Good transition, Steve. I know you tried to do that on purpose. Let's do our head-to-head segment. So the first game we're going to talk about in college is maybe a little bit obscure, but this is another team that I really like, Kentucky. They are going to Texas A&M. They're getting 6 points. And I really like Kentucky in this game. Again, I mentioned them last week on the pod. They're kind of one of my little darlings here from the SEC. They're 15 in the S&P+. And A&M is 22. So to me, it's a no-brainer. But argue for the other side, actually.
Okay, well, I'm glad you asked. Last week, Kentucky and Mark Stoops were hosting South Carolina, and on paper, that win was pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. But as you dive into the box score and look at the game log a little bit, it becomes a little less impressive. They were the benefactors of a few big turnovers in their own end, and that led directly to two touchdowns. And ultimately, outside of that, they didn't really dominate Carolina. I was expecting Carolina to pull that one out. So although Kentucky's defense has been mighty impressive this year, Texas A&M is still a good ball club. And they're at home. They're laying under a touchdown. And that's the side I'm going to be on with the Aggies.
All right. We'll see if you're right this time. Our second game is going to be kind of a marquee game, I guess. I mean, there's not a lot of great games this week. But we've got Notre Dame at Virginia Tech. Notre Dame is 6-point favorites. I told you where I'm at on this one, but where are you at, action?
Well, for full clarity, when the lines came out on Sunday, I jumped on Notre Dame. I think I got a -4. Okay. I know you listeners probably don't care about that because it's no longer available. But the more I think about it, this is really a tough spot for Notre Dame. They're coming off the huge win at home against Stanford on Saturday night. And now they have to travel to Blacksburg, where Virginia Tech has looked equally impressive in their win over Duke. And I think that this is kind of a difficult trap game for Notre Dame, although I don't doubt that they'll be able to come out on top. Covering 6 is a whole other idea, and I'm going to be on Virginia Tech and the Hokies.
Okay, that's great analysis. I think you're right. It could be a letdown spot. The Stanford game was big. Everybody thinks that that was their last hurdle to get to the national championship, the 4. But I'm booking, man. I told you I'm booking. I am booking it. I think they're going to score on this team. Virginia Tech may keep it a little bit closer, but I think it's a key number 6. If it was 7 or 7.5, I wouldn't probably be as confident about it. But I think that touchdown really, you can make it, and they can win this game. All right, let's turn to the NFL. We've got two more picks here. Let's see. We've got Vikings at Eagles. The Eagles are favored by 3 points. What say you, action?
This is a rematch of the NFC Championship from last year. If you recall, the Eagles trounced the Vikings. This week, though, Minnesota is coming off kind of a semi-bye week with playing the game on Thursday night last week, the extra 3 days of prep. And I just go back to watching this Eagles team week in and week out, and they've been underimpressive. Carson Wentz has looked steadily better each week as they go on, but they failed to cover against the Colts 2 weeks ago. They lost outright to Tennessee this past week in Mariota.
They blew it.
And the Vikings team, although the defense is questionable a little bit, they did not perform well last week. I still think that they're a better team than the Eagles right now, and I'll be scooping up the 3 points with Minnesota and Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, Kirky. He had a great game last week. So I don't know. It's a tough analysis. We like to pick games that most people will watch. In this case, you know, this is the NFC Championship rematch. I don't think the Eagles are the same team as they were last year. However, blowing that 17-3 lead last week, I think that may actually light a fire for this week, because you got to figure they're going to hit the film and figure out what's going on. The other thing I want to say about the Vikings, ever since that NFC Championship game where they got lit up, pretty much everybody's lighting them up. They haven't really stopped anybody to the level that they did last year. I'm not sure if it's a flaw in the Zimmer defense, but it seems like teams are attacking them a certain way. I believe the Eagles can do that again. It's only 3 points. If it was 3.5, 4.5, something like that. So I will definitely take the Eagles -3.
Yeah, anybody named Josh Allen included.
Exactly. All right, last game is Jags going to Kansas City. This is going to be a great one. We've got Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. They are favored by 3 at home. They haven't played a lot of home games, only their second home game this year. So what do you like in this one, action?
Well, this is a tough game to pick. And to be honest with you, I probably will be staying away from this game line, the side at least. The total is 49, which I really love the over in this game. Obviously, Kansas City has been lighting up scoreboards, and it's clear their defense is pretty poor. But I'm going to be backing Patrick Mahomes here again. I think that Jacksonville probably can glean a little bit from what the Broncos did here this week to slow them down. But Kansas City back at home, Patrick Mahomes throwing to his wide receiver core, Kareem Hunt. I'm going to be on Kansas City -3.
All right, I'll give you that. You know, I love Mahomes, but I love the Jags too, and they actually are playing good defense. They're one of the few teams in the NFL that are playing defense. So I expect them to slow down this offense of Kansas City, and more importantly, I expect the Jags to score some points on that bad Kansas City defense. I mean, like we talked about in the Denver game, Keenum missed a key throw at the end of the game. They should have lost that game. They are coming home. Arrowhead's a tough place to play, but I like the Jags on the road. And give me those 3 points for those Jags.
All right. Well, hopefully I can make a little comeback this week. I'm 10 games back now. I need 4-0.
You can do it. You can do it. All right. Let's transition to some other sports. Let's talk about Major League Baseball. And as you know, playoffs start tonight. The Cubs are playing tonight, and I can't believe they're in the playoff, to be honest with you. By the time this is rolled out, we'll all know what's going to happen. But so you've noted that the home field advantage in baseball is really not a home field advantage.
Yeah, this is the one sport where home field, especially in the playoffs, really isn't as big as it is in the NBA or the NFL. If you look back at the numbers, they're really about 50% home. Teams might have a slight edge. Mm-hmm. But when you factor in the fact that most of the road teams are underdogs, if you just bet on road teams historically, you're going to come out ahead because of that plus money, like we talked about earlier.
Interesting. Yeah, pitching wins in baseball, so and that travels. It doesn't matter where you're at. Okay, and then you've got, is it better to have the rest or continue playing through the play-in wildcard games to keep the hot streak rolling? This is a great topic, actually. Don't have a ton of time, but so there's a lot of hot teams, Milwaukee being one of them, the Rockies as well, versus like a Cubs or a Dodgers. The Dodgers had to play their way into, but like the Red Sox, I mean, they've been sitting on top of the American League the entire year, but they're kind of hurt. So what do you think about that? Where do you sit on that?
Yeah, some of these teams, obviously in the NL, the Rockies and the Cubs are going to be basically playing straight through whoever wins tonight, and they'll have no rest. And there are some schools of thought which think that, well, you'd like to keep on rolling and get your at-bats and continue the streak.
Sure.
But then there are others who think that the rest might be a little beneficial to both sides, including the pitching staff. Looking at the numbers, there isn't really an advantage here either. It may surprise you to know it's really been kind of split in terms of historical winning percentages. So there's no real advantage one way or the other to baseball betting in the playoffs.
Gotcha. Well, okay. No advantage there.
Another theory that a lot of folks like to talk about is the zigzag theory.
Okay.
And that basically means taking the loser of game one and game two, and then the loser and so on, thinking that the team who lost the night before will likely bounce back in the next game.
Okay.
Again, historically, there's no real trend here. So that's something that I would probably refrain from looking at in terms of baseball playoff betting.
I gotcha. Well, with playoff baseball betting in general, people just betting money lines, that's pretty much what they're betting. They're not doing run totals or something like that.
Yeah, the totals in the playoffs are always a lot lower. So looking at run lines, laying 1.5 is a very risky proposition, especially in the playoffs and especially for home teams, because a lot of games end up with one run differential.
I gotcha. That makes sense. All right, we'll just jump to the World Series odds.
Yeah, let's talk about them.
Okay, well, you know, the Red Sox are the top dog. They're plus 300, but we've talked about this, you know, before the pod. I mean, there's some injuries in the pitching staff. We're not sure this is the exact same team as it was in July. They're still the favorite, but you like some other teams.
Yeah, the Houston Astros come in second betting odds at plus 350, and then followed by the NL favorites, the Los Angeles Dodgers are plus 500. Those are the two teams that I'll probably be looking at to wager on for the futures here. I think the Astros are hot. They are obviously one of the hottest teams in September. And I think that plus 350, if you can get them to the World Series, then you'll be looking good in terms of a layoff.
I hear you. You know, you got the Brewers at plus 700 after that. Actually, that's my team I would bet on if I was going to put some money. Maybe I will, because they're red hot and they have great pitching. Young team. They're kind of that team that, I don't know, for me this is probably not statistical, but it's kind of in a narrative. You see that young up-and-coming team that, that's kind of on the upswing. Now granted, usually those teams don't win at all, but it's worth a shot. And then you've also got pennant odds too, so maybe it's better to actually just put them in the pennant because they're plus 250. But yeah, I mean, the Dodgers are definitely a tough team, but I like the Brewers. You've got the Indians plus 1,000, The Yankees plus 1,000. The Cubs at plus 1,000. A little surprising. Mm-hmm. That probably is after they lost the one game yesterday.
These odds came out this morning.
Yeah, and then at the bottom you've got the Braves at plus 1,200, Rockies plus 2,000, and the A's plus 2,000. Nobody's given the A's the Rockies love. Those two teams are very hot as well.
Yeah, the A's and the Rockies have been playing well, but both of them are heavy underdogs in these wild card games.
Yeah, so I guess you're taking the chance they could just lose this one game playoff.
Exactly, yep.
All right, in the pennant odds, you've got, you know, obviously the same kind of flow. You like Houston and L.A. You know, personally, I probably, like I said, I would probably go Brewers here plus 250, but or the Cubs plus 450. Again, if I got to bet today, you got to know they're going to win today, I guess. But mm-hmm. I'm confident the Cubs can win tonight.
Yeah, the one thing I'll note about the Brewers is they're starting pitching. They don't have world beaters there.
Right.
That's always questionable when you get to October and playoff baseball. You got to have that starting rotation that can carry you through this series.
Absolutely. One thing I will say is I'm not an anti-baseball guy. I like baseball. I grew up playing it, but I don't really watch it until October. I really like to watch playoff baseball because everything's on the line. You see great stuff and efforts and everything. So I'll finally tune into some baseball.
Oh, yeah, me too. I love when playoff baseball rolls around. Another thing I would like to point out is on these game-to-game wagers, like I'm going to be looking at underdogs that I think have a chance to win. If you're looking at a coin flip game, it's going to be profitable over the long haul to bet on the underdog, and I'll be looking at those on a game-to-game basis.
All right, there you go. You heard it here. All right, let's move to the UFC. Got the UFC. We got the McGregor fighting, do we?
Yeah, the UFC 229 this Saturday in Las Vegas. And this one has been billed as one of the most hyped UFC encounters in the history of the sport.
Awesome.
Khabib Nurmagomedov is a minus 160 favorite right now over Conor McGregor, which many of you probably know from his recent fight against Floyd Mayweather.
That's right.
And the handle is approaching six figures heading into this fight week, which I thought was rather impressive. Nearly twice as much money has been on McGregor than on Nurmagomedov.
Okay.
And I will point out that Nurmagomedov is a 26-0 undefeated champion, and he is a deserving favorite in this match, so I've read.
Interesting.
I pulled a couple of folks across the globe, including South Korea,
nice.
And I gather that he is the much better grappler of the two.
Okay.
And he's going to be looking to try to get McGregor to the mat and really take him to submission, whereas McGregor is more of the stand-up striking fighter.
He's a striker, right.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying there's much more money coming in on McGregor, even though he's the underdog, huh?
Yeah, I mean, he's the public guy. The same exact thing happened in the Mayweather fight, if you recall, last year. And similarly this week, if you like the favorite here, I would suggest waiting on the line to come down closer to fight time on Saturday night.
Makes sense.
I'm expecting that this line may drop down to minus 140 or even lower. So if you're looking to bet on Nurmagomedov, then you should definitely wait. Whereas, contrarily, if you want to bet on McGregor, you should probably hop on it sooner than later.
Gotcha. Do they also make those similar wagers, you know, in terms of rounds and things like that, or, you know, with UFC?
Yeah, there are plenty of prop bets that you can make in this match as well. Goes without saying that a lot of people are betting on McGregor to get the knockout in one of the earlier rounds, whereas if you're looking to bet on Khabib, then you're probably looking at a full five-round match.
Right, he'll win the decision. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to our last sport. NHL, we've got it. Hockey, we're talking all the major sports, as we said. So here we go. NHL, I mean, we're obviously one of the original six here in Chicago with the Blackhawks. And we're looking at futures for, this is for the championship, right?
Yeah, this is to hoist the Stanley Cup.
That's right. Lord Stanley's Cup, which is awesome. So the favorite is the Tampa Bay Lightning. No surprise there. You know, you've got the Maple Leafs. Plus 800 for the Lightning. Plus 800 for the Maple Leafs. And the Winnipeg Jets, again, plus 800. San Jose Sharks, plus 1,200. The Penguins, plus 1,200. You got the Preds at plus 1,200. You got the Golden Knights, who were the darlings last year, made that huge run, at plus 1,400. The Capitals at plus 1,400. The Bruins at plus 1,600. And then you got some lower teams like the Blue Jackets, the Oilers, the Blues, and the Flyers at plus 2,500. The Capitals won the title last year.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I think the Tampa Bay Lightning are the deserving heavy favorites here. I admittedly am not a huge NHL bettor, but I do dabble here and there, looking at some totals every now and then. And one thing that I had read a little bit of this week is that the Golden Knights are going to be a little bit overinflated in the market this year.
I can imagine.
Obviously, they're being in Las Vegas. There's lots of buzz going around in the betting, gambling world about them. And from game to game and even their season win totals, it may be profitable to look at fading them a little bit.
I think that makes sense. I am a little surprised that the defending champs, Washington Capitals, are plus 1400. I don't know a ton about hockey right this second, but did they have some, you know, retirements or something? I mean, why wouldn't they be closer to the top?
To be honest with you, I'm not sure. Maybe it had to do with their curse that they were dealing with for so long, and folks just think that there's no way they can win again.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Ovechkin's the man, but we'll see. I mean, one thing I will say about hockey, very exciting in the Stanley Cup playoffs. I definitely like baseball, turn to that sport late. But, you know, I like to check out a game here or there. We've got some friends that are huge Blackhawk fans. So, we catch a game. They've done the Frozen, you know, they've done the games at Wrigley Field here in Chicago and things like that. I think that's a great tradition that they do. So, it's hockey season as well. So, we'll be covering everything, I guess.
Yeah, we may talk about hockey here and there. It will be probably a little difficult to talk about individual games in terms of when the lines come out on a day-to-day basis and this being a weekly podcast. But we'll see if we can get some tidbits in there.
I think we'll try. We'll try. So, all right. Well, that wraps up our episode 7 of the Side Action Podcast. Thanks, everybody, for joining. Especially thank you those who are rating our podcast and, you know, putting out our tweets. Hopefully you're following us on Twitter at Side Action Pod and liking our picks. And Action's giving us these picks every week now. All right, well, that'll wrap it up for this week. Definitely follow us on Twitter, and you can follow me individually at Wegspool on Twitter.
And you can follow me at 31SRoberts. And thank you for listening and joining. Make sure that you subscribe and unsubscribe and resubscribe and keep those ratings coming in and the comments as well. We love to read them, including all of your mailbags too. That's been a great segment, and we like to talk about what the listeners are asking.
Yeah, exactly. We need to know what you guys want to hear. So, all right, let's wrap it up.
That's a wrap for this episode of the Side Action Podcast. We appreciate all of your listens, and thank you for joining us. We'll see you all again next week on Thursday for some more hot picks and side action. Side Action Podcast, its owners and associates take no responsibility for the opinions or statements made by the show hosts or their guests. Statements or show topics are not necessarily the beliefs of this podcast, and opinions between talk show hosts may conflict. Individuals following the advice given on the podcast accept their own risk of losses from wagers made, as the Side Action Podcast, its owners, hosts, associates, or guests will not guarantee any advice given. The opinions and advice given on the Side Action Podcast is for entertainment purposes only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Intro and outro and transition music credits. Song titles, Jerry 5 and District 4 by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.org. Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 3.0. creativecommons.org/licenses/by 3.0.